why do we learn at work different than we learn at life? If we're learning in life through short, bite-sized pieces when I need to do it, why can't we offer more information along those same kind of lines?
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is an L&D contract staffing company. We like to say when you have more projects than people, let us find the right consultant to start your project with confidence. I am really excited today. I've waited a long time to interview this guest. My guest today is Topher Olson. He's the Vice President of Training and Enablement at RealPage. Welcome, Topher.
Thanks so much for having me. So excited to be here.
Great. Oh, gosh. Really am excited. And I'm not kidding. It's been months since we first started talking about doing this, and we're finally getting to do it. So, Topher, can you just kind of give our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So, again, Topher Olson, Vice President of Training and Enablement at RealPage. We're a software company that specializes in software in the multifamily space. I oversee several different training functions. I have a group of customer trainers that train our clients on our software. I have a group of internal trainers that train our support and implementation agents, as well as a learning systems team that really develop and sponsor our learning management system that we sell to customers. And then finally, a content development team that develops tons and tons of content for our customers to use.
That's a very big team. Can you share with us what about learning and development first attracted you to the field?
Absolutely. So my background is actually in education. I was a school teacher for many years, and I had actually just finished a second master's in educational administration because in the education world, the way to move up is through becoming a principal and that kind of thing. And I was really interested in curriculum and development. I was really going after a role where I could really help teachers be better teachers. And unfortunately, there was some things economically that were happening at the time in the state of Texas. And so instead of moving into a principal role, I took a different path and I actually got into corporate training. And I really found that my skills in education paired with my passion for learning really dovetailed really nicely together. And that's really how I've just kind of moved through my career. So I went into training and then actually started leading training teams and now lead a really large team across the globe in the learning and development space. So it's been, I feel like I myself, I'm a lifelong learner. And so having that ability to, kind of put my joy and my passion together has just been phenomenal.
That's a good story. It sounds like I'm not sure how you accidentally got a job in corporate training was it you just didn't like the options of being a principal, or there weren't any available, or?
So that's exactly it, right? What happened was in the state of Texas at the time, right when I had finished, they had a hiring freeze on all administrators. And so there was no option for me to move forward in that particular role. And so I started looking at, hey, how could I possibly take the skills that I've learned in education and maybe do something a little bit different to, again, advance? It's my career. I had a young family at the time and, just wanted to do more for them. And so that's when I started looking about, like, what could that possibly be? And corporate training kept coming up in my searches. And I was really intrigued by how people learn outside of the traditional classroom, right? Because I had been a classroom teacher. And so I was like, wow, that's really interesting to think about. Well, people need to be trained at how they do their jobs. Well, I'm a teacher. I feel like I'm a strong teacher. And so I was like, I can figure out ways to take my education background and really bring that into the corporate training setting. And that's really what I did. And so with my background in curriculum instruction, I started to kind of break down. I moved into the multifamily industry. That's where I got my training start. But took all of that background and how to develop curriculum and how to help people change their behaviors on their job to really have them perform well, put all those things together and really develop some really great training programs that are still in place with some of the companies I worked with.
That's amazing that they're still in place.
Yeah. Altered for sure, but and changed and morphed, but really started some of that foundational.
Satisfying. It really is. I remember visiting one of my old bosses, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years ago, and I hadn't been working there for over 20 years. We were chatting and he said, "That program you wrote, still running." And it was just like, oh my gosh, something I did lasted.
Yes, I know. It's great. It's great when that happens.
So what are the biggest changes you've seen in learning and development in the last 3 to 5 years?
I think it can be summed up in the two letters that we're all hearing so much about, and that's AI. I think AI is changing the learning landscape in so many ways. In fact, I just went to a LinkedIn conference where the whole program is really centered around AI. While I was there, I even took a self-driving car, which was a really interesting experience, right? Because here's AI in a really practical sense driving me around. So it was an incredible conference and an incredible immersive experience in how AI is changing how we learn, how we work, and how we, you know, devise information. So I'm really excited about this. There's so many new tools that are coming about as a result of this. And so how do we as learning professionals start to really tap into what AI is about and how it's going to really change how we work? And I think it's one of those things that if we're not careful and we think that this is just some kind of fad, I'm afraid that we're going to be left behind. So I'm really trying to be proactive, again, taking my passion for learning myself and just trying to learn as much about it as I can, because it's truly changing everything. It's changing the game for sure.
I couldn't agree more. I just got back from DevLearn in Vegas and I went through the expo, and 99% of those vendors in that giant expo had an AI tool they were pushing. And then in 2 weeks, I'm headed over to another conference and I paid for the pre-day conference, which is a whole day for learning leaders on how AI can be is going to affect your department in the future. It's like,
absolutely.
I think I'm gonna hear this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So this is, it's a big topic and I don't think many of us are ignoring it. I think most of us are either totally embracing it or just going, how do I learn about this?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Well, then on that note, let's look to the future. What do you think are going to be the biggest changes to L&D in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I really think that as L&D leaders, the thing that we need to kind of focus on is how people are learning. I coined this phrase, right, that I really should get copyrighted because I think it's a pretty decent phrase. When we think about like just in life, right, how we consume information, we're all on some kind of social, a lot of us, right, whether it be TikTok, whether it be Instagram, whether it be Facebook, right, we're getting pieces of information, right, not 8-hour courses, right? We're getting pieces of information that we then put into a repository in our mind and then take that information and action it, whether it be decorating my house or building a bed or whatever, right? And so I think that that's how we need to think about information and how we learn. And the phrase I've come up with is, why do we learn at work different than we learn at life? If we're learning in life through short bite-sized pieces when I need to do it, why can't we offer more information along those same kind of lines, right? And so beyond compliance kinds of things, how can we get information to the people that need it, alter their behaviors to drive the performance that we're looking at? And so that's really where I'm starting to see trends and starting to try to figure out how do we start to infuse these ideas together. So for example, in our organization, we're spending a lot of money on AI as well, right? So we have a new AI tool that's embedded in our software, and people are looking to that tool for information, right? Because a lot of times we front load a lot of training on new associates that they don't remember, right? Ebbinghaus's forgetful curve. We forget 70% of what we learn in one particular day, you know, in the next 7 days. And so how do we provide those learning experiences and opportunities that provide that relevant information more in that workflow? And we've talked about, you know, we've seen the LXP and we've seen LMSs and all those kinds of things. And, but yet it takes us out of what we need to do into another experience, but, you know, that's different than my work. And so I really think that that's really, you know, we've talked about bite-sized learning and in the flow and all those kinds of things, but I don't think that we're quite there yet. And I think that this is really, this whole AI shift is really where we're going to be starting to focus in the future, because I think that that's really how we're going to start to consume that information moving forward.
Well, thank you for your insights. Definitely a trend that I think is a good one. I've always found it odd that you let's stop work, log into the LMS, find the course you're supposed to take. It doesn't help you right now when you need.
No. And the other thing, too, is that there is still a lot of people that think that just because Leanne takes a training means Leanne can do it, right? I've watched a heck of a lot of videos on rock climbing. I cannot climb a rock to save my life. There's the idea of practice and putting those things in place, right? And observing those behaviors that we want to change and making sure that they're driving the performance results. And that's the other thing too. I think that we've really got to start continuing to push the learning metrics in line with our performance metrics and seeing, is that training very impactful to the learner that I gave it to? Because if we're not driving those performance results, it's really a waste of time. So that's, you know, again, where we need to kind of marry those two ideas together.
Very good information. I appreciate your insight on that. And of course, the first thing that popped in my head when you're talking about the rock climbing, it's like, yes, I know that if I eat all healthy foods with no additives and I get exercise and cut sugar out, I will be skinny. I know this.
Right. We haven't altered that behavior. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes. So who has been your most influential professional mentor?
I've thought about this question a lot. And I have to just answer it with a bit of a story. I had a leader. Her name was Stephanie Nascimento. I was in a regional training role and the national training position came open. And it was at our, you know, I was living in Texas at the time, and I was, you know, this would have been a move to Phoenix. And I was really kind of nervous because I hadn't been in the role very, very long. But, you know, again, trying to aspire, grow my career, I just saw this as a really great opportunity. I loved the company I was working for, but I knew that I was going to have to leave my region and support the national platform. And so Stephanie was just always just such a great leader, right? Always loved to chat about challenges that we had and how could we use learning to really face those challenges head on, and was always so supportive of all the work that we were doing. And so I felt nervous to talk to her about this experience and about, you know, wanting to move to a national role because I felt like I'd be letting her down. And so I remember when I went to her and I said, hey, Stephanie, I have this opportunity to move to the national role. And she looked at me without hesitation and without a beat, looked square into my eyes and said, what do we need to do to get you there? And I just took that as such an empowering statement and something that I've tried to hold dear to my heart when I'm working with other associates. Because, you know, the challenge in the L&D world is that there's not a lot of us around in an organization. And unfortunately, sometimes to move up, sometimes you actually need to move out of an organization, maybe start to lead a team at a different company, right? So you can have that leadership experience. So I've taken that to heart and I've tried to lead with that servant attitude, if you will. And really, Stephanie was always a mentor to me around those kind of principles and ideals. And I just am so ever thankful for her leadership and mentorship over the years.
I love to hear about a great mentor like that. And we all need a great mentor to get moving forward in our field. So I love that. And I also love that you're trying to do that for others.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
What is one skill that is really important today in L&D?
This is a great question, Leanne. I think that the challenge that we have right now is that obviously, we're, you know, everybody's trying to drive to the bottom line. And unfortunately, a lot of times, L&D is one of those things that sometimes feels like a nice to have instead of have to have. And so what I am trying to think about is, how do I stack my team and make sure I give them the skills that they can start to both be a little bit of instructional designer, as well as good facilitator, both in person and in the virtual space. So I'm trying to create well-rounded individuals in all facets of L&D, because I do think that, again, unfortunately, due to, you know, shrinking budgets and things like that over time, we need to have multifaceted players in this space that can do lots of different things and hopefully do them well. So, you know, really trying to understand the tools that we have now available at our fingertips for some of that design and construction of new materials, really looking at how people facilitate, making that part of the interview process. And then hopefully, if I can, trying to meet them in person, because we're seeing a lot of requests now for our training to be in person again, right? So, you know, COVID, obviously, we were all in the virtual space and in Zoom school, as one of my colleagues call it. But now we're starting to see that idea that it is good to bring people together. And so I need to make sure I've got facilitators that can facilitate in person as well as in the virtual space. So I think it's not any one skill. To me, it's kind of that trifecta of bringing great facilitation along with instructional design and concepts, and then able to deliver all of those things. So that's really where I think the rubber's meeting the road right now, so to speak, in terms of hiring and staffing a team.
I think that that's fair, and it's a challenge for you, I definitely think. But, you know, with the right training and tools, a facilitator, I think, can do instructional design. A lot harder to get someone who's terrified of facilitating to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Facilitation is not for everybody. That is for sure. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those needs, is making these multifaceted players to be a little bit more nimble, a little bit more flexible.
So I call that here at Training Pros, when a client wants someone who can do all of the things, go everything, jack of all trades in training.
That's true. Right. And I know that I could probably get some criticism for that answer, right? Because the other side of that phrase sometimes is jack of all trades, master of none. But again, I would rather at least have one person on the team rather than just me myself, right? So, and I'm very fortunate. I have a very large team spread across the globe, but still, even as we look to when we have to replace people, right, I am looking for multifaceted folks.
Right. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's the way it was when I first started a while back in training, that everybody had to be able to do everything. You had to write the classes. You had to teach the classes. Of course, we didn't have e-learning back then, but that's how long ago that was.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Well, and that's the thing, like the tools that we have at our fingertips today are just phenomenal, right? And I don't think we can talk about specific tools probably, but I mean, again, with the capture of AI, being able to start with a blank page and at least find inspiration, right? Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is just getting started by utilizing these tools. It really kind of gives us a great place to start. And then like, oh yeah, I can take it from there and really start to springboard into other ideas and things that you might not have even thought about.
Very good point. And I use AI for idea generation quite often. And I even took a class where I watched them do a complete instructional design project using AI. They just kept giving it the correct prompts, and it just kept building this class from initial goal to here you go.
Absolutely. Right.
It was amazing.
But again, and I know that people, and this is where people, I think, get a little bit nervous in our space, you know, is AI going to replace us? Right. But I think, again, it's that discernment that we will always need. And that's how we provide value. Kind of back to that car driving story. You know, it was interesting because I took this self-driving car. It was a Jaguar. It was a beautiful car. The temperature inside was exactly what I set it to. It had the music that I wanted to playing on the radio when I got in. So it was really customized to myself. The next day, I actually had to schedule an Uber to the airport because the self-driving cars, you can't schedule ahead of time. And I wanted to make sure I made my flight. So I scheduled an Uber. And the thing that was interesting there is that the Uber showed up. The car was kind of dirty. It wasn't very clean. It was a little bit warm. And I was thinking, wow, here we have two examples, right? I have the same service, one provided through AI and one provided still by that human touch. And so what I think that we need to think about, not only in terms of L&D, but I think this is in terms of just any kind of business in general, is that if I'm up neck to neck against something with AI, what am I bringing in that human value that provides more service in a different kind of way that makes me stand out and makes me, you know, really reputable in that particular area? And so I think in the space of L&D, right, it's like that, again, it's that discernment, right? I can take the AI generated pieces, but how do I make it engaging? How do I make sure that it's driving business results across the channels that I'm responsible for? And I think that's where we start to see that, right? A piece of content is only a piece of content until it's actually driving the results is when it really starts to be relevant.
So let's shift gears. Where do you get your industry news and information?
Great question. I look to a lot of different things. And because, again, I almost, like I said before, why do I learn at work different than I learn at life? So I'm really inspired by LinkedIn Learning. I'm following Allie K. Miller right now. Does a lot. She's been a pioneer in AI. So looking through her stuff through LinkedIn Learning. I do a lot on YouTube, seeing a lot of different like productivity and kind of creation things there. TikTok is also really interesting and finding some really great kind of inspirational pieces there. And then also the ATD website. I can't ignore that, right? There's so many great articles. So again, it's sometimes like looking for kind of nuggets of ideas and then substantiating them through kind of the research and things that ATD provides. So it's kind of a combination. I think I'm beyond books, unfortunately. I sometimes even struggle with just books for pleasure because I am in kind of that bite-sized mode of trying to get information quickly and move fast. So again, trying to find those learning avenues that provide relevant information in short bite-sized pieces that I can then action very quickly.
That's great. Well, you may have kind of answered my next question already then. I normally ask, what is one book every learning leader should read?
I love that question. And there's a book, and it's by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. It's called The Power of Moments. I love this book, not from a learning perspective, but it's really about how you create really great moments for people in your team, in a company. And so when I think about learning and I think about learning experiences, we actually oftentimes get to be that front door that welcomes somebody to a new company, that welcomes somebody to a new part of the organization, to a new process, to a new product, whether it be a customer, whether it be an internal associate. And so how do we create really positive power of moments that people remember? And I think that's ultimately kind of the holy grail that we're after, right? How do we make sure that our learning experiences are sticky, are impactful, and are driving the behavior results that we want to see? And so I really love that book for that particular reason, even though it's not specifically focused on L&D, because again, I think that when we have those moments and we connect those together, it really makes people feel connected to an organization, connected culturally together through a shared experience, possibly, and through the idea of learning. And when we learn together, and that's what I love about social learning, right? We get to leverage the knowledge, skills, and abilities that everybody in the company has because we all have something that we can share. And so when we create those moments, then we start to create a stronger collective that really builds a company and an organization to perform better than they were before.
It sounds like a great book. I will add it to my Audible list because you're exactly right. I can look back on very specific moments that really impacted me, and it's just that small of a time. And I am a big proponent of social learning. I do believe we learn more from each other than from a class or, an e-learning or anything like that.
So I love the idea of social learning, right? Because when you think about how it works, it can be so powerful. And I know that there's a lot of criticism, right? What if somebody shares the wrong thing, right? I think that's what people get nervous about. But I think back to my classroom days, and First of all, when we look at social learning, most people that are on any kind of social platform, probably 80 to 90% are just scrollers, right? They're just kind of moving through the content and they don't necessarily stop and add, you know, any relevant commentary. So those that do, if there is something that's wrong, first of all, we want to encourage the fact that they shared something, right? So, and I can guarantee if they shared something and it's wrong, there's probably 30 other people that thought the same wrong answer. So when we first of all praise them, hey, Leanne, thanks so much for sharing. But here's actually why we think this policy or this procedure should be helpful for us moving forward. Now you've provided the additional context that's going to help everybody else understand a lot better what it is that you are trying to do in the first place. So again, I love that idea because you get to, again, celebrate somebody for the courage to share and to speak up and then use that additional context for the overall, you know, thing that it is that you're trying to train, for example.
I absolutely love that. Well, it has been a sincere pleasure having you as a guest on our podcast today. Thank you so much for taking the time to do it. As a thank you, I am going to plant 5 trees in your name. That's our charity here at Training Pros. We plant trees around the world. And I'll send you a certificate honor, you know, letting you know that we've planted these trees at your name. Again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Leanne, so much for having me. Such a pleasure. I love to talk about learning. And so I love that you have this outlet for us to discuss all of these things and look forward to more discussions in the future.
Thank you. And that's it for this week's episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. Join us again next week when we interview another learning leader from another industry.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.